What a beautiful day today, and a wonderful day to come together and worship God. And since we don't have any visitors here this morning, I want to take the opportunity to thank all of you for being such a friendly, loving group of people here in Burien. And greeting our visitors as you do and making them feel welcome. And that is a comment that we hear from some of our visitors who get back with us and thank us for that. That we are a very friendly, welcoming congregation. And even our daughters have made those comments, you know, coming back home to worship here after being away, commenting how friendly the congregation, how loving the congregation is here. So I just want to thank you and commend you for that, as I think that is a wonderful testimony that we have as a group of people to be thankful for. Today I'd like to call your attention to the screen here and the subject of the lesson this morning, becoming more like Jesus. And it's a follow-up to the lesson of last week, and we talked about letting Jesus be seen in me. Letting Jesus be seen in your life. And how that is possible, how we should have that as one of the goals, one of the main goals of your life as a Christian, to become more like Jesus and to let Jesus be seen in you. And as we think about Jesus and the identity of who is Jesus, you know, in Matthew chapter 16, Jesus spoke to his disciples on one occasion, and he said, "Who do men say that I am?" And they began to give various answers that, well, some people say that you are John the Baptist, and some people say that you are Elijah, some say that you are one of the prophets. But Jesus, as he often did, then turned the question back to them. And he said, "But who do you say that I am?" And at that time, Peter spoke up and he said, "Well, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And this is a question that each one of us must answer, I believe. Who do you say that Jesus is this morning? And in your life, you answer that question. Each one of us gives an answer to that question as we live our lives as to who Jesus is and what does he mean to you. You know, the following is written a number of years ago, but it still speaks powerfully. And I'd like to read it this morning. "Here is a man who was born in an obscure village, the child of a peasant woman. He grew up in another village and he worked in a carpenter shop until he was 30. Then for 3 years he was an itinerant preacher. He never owned a home and he never wrote a book. He never held an office and he never had a family. He never went to college. He never put his foot inside a big city. He never traveled 200 miles from the place he was born. He never did one of the things that usually accompany greatness. He had no credentials but himself. While still a young man, the tide of popular opinion turned against him. His friends ran away. One of them denied him. He was turned over to his enemies. He went through the mockery of a trial. He was nailed upon a cross between two thieves. While he was dying, his executioners gambled for the only piece of property he had on this earth, his coat. When he was dead, he was laid in a borrowed grave through the pity of a friend. 19 long centuries have come and gone, and today he is the centerpiece of the human race and the leader of the column of progress and all the armies that ever marched and all the navies that were ever built and all the parliaments that ever sat and all the kings that ever reigned put together have not affected the life of man upon this earth as powerfully as has that one solitary life. There is no one that can compare with Jesus in the influence, in the power of his life. And we can't help but ask the question, how did Jesus influence so many people's lives? What was there about his life that was so special? And it wasn't just the fact that he lived, it was the way that he lived that has made such an impact and such a influence that he has touched so many lives. You know, one of the statements that always comes to mind when we think about Jesus' life and the lifestyle that he lived and what was unique about him is the statement that was made by Peter in Acts chapter 10 when he was at the house of Cornelius. And describing Jesus, he said he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And so he says he went about doing good. And have you ever known anyone that was like that, that just was simply good, that were just good? Everything that they seemed to do was for the good of others, and they may have gone about it in a very quiet, simple way, and yet they just had so much effect on the world to make it a better place. That's the kind of person Jesus was. He went about doing good. And in many ways, when you look at the life of Jesus, it was a very simple life that he lived. It was, as I said, in an obscure village. He grew up in a small village, and he was a carpenter for most of his life. And when he even was during his ministry, he still was, in many ways, a very normal person. We read of him on one occasion that they were crossing the Sea of Galilee and a storm was coming up and Jesus was sleeping in the hold of the boat. And they had to wake him up and said, "Master, don't you care that we perish?" And he arose and then he calmed the seas. And he said, "Oh, you of little faith." But his life was unique, very simple in many ways, and yet so beautiful. And we would have to say that Jesus' life brought beauty into this world. His life brought beauty into this world in a way that no other life has ever done. And is it possible for your life to bring beauty into the lives of people around you? That is the question. Is it possible for your life to have some of that beauty that was seen in Jesus? Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? We look at Jesus, and especially when he was being led to the cross, Isaiah even makes the comment in Isaiah chapter 53. He said, "There is no beauty in him that we should desire him." I mean, after all, at that time, he had been beaten and probably bleeding and suffering the way that he was. It wasn't beautiful to look upon outwardly in that time. But nevertheless, Jesus' life brought such great beauty into this world. And as we know him, and as we strive to follow Him, it is possible. The answer is yes. It is possible for your life to bring some of that beauty into the world today. You know, I go back to the illustration that I used last week of the kaleidoscope and how such a simple device can take a small handful of colored beads that in themselves aren't anything especially impressive, but by arranging them in the tube that they are placed in, and there are three mirror strips that are inserted into the tube in a way that it becomes like a triangular cylinder that has mirrors on each side. And on one end you have a little hole to look through, and the other end you have a clear piece of glass that is a magnifying glass. So whenever you turn and rotate the kaleidoscope, it always arranges those into a prism. And it becomes like a six-piece triangle that you're looking through, down through this, what looks like a round tube, and everything gets arranged out into a pattern that is beautiful. Well, I think the analogy behind that is that as we look into the life of Jesus and we look at the characteristics of Jesus, which are simple characteristics, really, that we can clearly identify, and if we can look at those qualities that were characteristics of His life and follow those and make those a part of your life, then it's going to be possible for your life to bring that same glory, and that beauty that was in Jesus can still be seen today. And that is the point of our lesson. And I would ask you this as you are here this morning, that you would promise yourself that you will take some of the characteristics that I'm going to speak about of Jesus and strive to make them characteristics of your life. Okay? And they're simple things. Simple things, and yet it was the arrangement of those, I believe, in Jesus' life, the combination of these qualities that made His life so special. That people looked at Jesus and they were astonished. They were amazed at His life wherever He went. And it wasn't just the power of the miracles that He performed. It was more than that. Jesus Himself impacted the lives of people like no other person has ever done. So what were these characteristics? The first one is that I would like you to think about that Jesus was mindful of others in His life. And that seems a very simple thing. He was mindful of others. But He was so consistent in that everywhere He went, that was a guiding principle of His life, that He was mindful of other people, mindful of their circumstances, mindful of their needs, understanding, compassionate toward them. And Acts 10 and verse 38, He went about doing good, is a good summary of that quality of Jesus' life. He was mindful of His parents when He was young. That's kind of where it started. And it says there in when He was just like 12 years old that he made the statement. He said, I must be about my Father's business. But He went home and was subject to His parents. So He was mindful of them. And As he grew up, he was always mindful of his Father in heaven. He was mindful of those around him in Nazareth, where he grew up. Later, around the Sea of Galilee, the villages and towns that he went, he was mindful of those people. He was as mindful, though, of good people as he was evil people. He was mindful of the rich as he was of the poor. For example, one night Nicodemus came to Jesus while he was in Jerusalem, and he said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do the miracles that you do except God be with him." And Jesus sat down with Nicodemus, and he began to speak with him, and he took the time. And it was no different than if it was some person out in one of the villages that he knew. He took the time with Nicodemus. And then when he was sitting by the well of Samaria, and the woman of Samaria came, you know, every person that Jesus, he was mindful of that person. That is one of the qualities that stands out in the life of Jesus. And it's a quality that you and I can imitate. It's one that we can concentrate on that more, as that is something I can grow in that area. He was mindful of the sick, hurting people, forgotten people. And he was moved with compassion. We see that over and over and over again in Jesus' life, how he was mindful of their needs and compassionate to them. And an example of that is the reading here in Mark chapter 7, where it says that he was in the region of Decapolis. The region of Decapolis was over on the east side there of the Jordan River. And it was a Gentile area. So he was deep in Gentile territory when this was happening. Not among his own people, really. Departing, he came through the midst, and they brought him one who was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. And they begged him to put his hand on him. You know, I've seen people like this, and you probably have too. People that, you know, you first meet them and you don't realize that they're deaf. And then it becomes obvious. And then not only can they not hear, but they cannot speak. At least they have difficulty speaking. So we always notice people like that. And Jesus took compassion upon this man. And he took him aside and put his fingers in his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he said, "Ephatha, be opened." And immediately his ears were opened, and the impediment of his tongue was loosed, and he spoke plainly. He commanded them not to tell anyone, but the more he commanded them, the more widely they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, "He has done all things well." He makes both the deaf to hear and the mute to speak. But it was really the fact that he was mindful of that man and concerned about him that led to that. It was that quality of caring and personal contention that contributed so that that became such a blessing to those people and to that man. You can imagine what that would have been like to be there and see that, and for that man's life to be changed by that and the other people. Obviously, they were impressed with the kindness of Jesus. The second quality that we see in the life of Jesus is the quality of he was focused on the will of God. In his life, that was his main focus. That was his main priority in all that he did. to fulfill the will of God in his life. And he talked about that many times, how he felt about that. He said, "I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." That was what his life was all about. Not doing my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And how did the Father feel about that? Well, in Matthew chapter 17 and verse 5, when he was on the Mount of Transfiguration, the Father spoke from heaven the voice of God. He said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." The fact that Jesus was focused on pleasing his Father, and that pleased the Father, that his Son was concerned about pleasing him. But in his life, wherever Jesus went, it was always about pleasing the will of God. That the will of God was what caused him to do what he did. In Luke 19 and verse 10, he was passing through the area near Jericho on the way to Jerusalem. And there was this man, Zacchaeus, who had climbed up in a sycamore tree so that he could see Jesus. And we see that Jesus, when he came to the place, he said he looked up and saw him and said to him, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house." And Zacchaeus was joyful at that and came down, and Jesus went into his home and shared a meal and visited and talked with him. And he concluded that, he said, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost." It was as if Jesus was saying, you know, God's will, it is for me to go to your house today. That wasn't what he planned on, probably coming into town there, but seeing this man so eager to see Jesus climbing up in the tree, it speaks about he had some desire to meet Jesus, and Jesus responded to that. But his focus in that, I believe, is he wanted to do the will of his Father. What is the will of his Father? His will of his Father is to seek and save the lost. And there was the opportunity. Same thing with the woman at the well in Samaria, where most people, Jewish, they would find some way to avoid her. They would look the other way. They would not ever say a word. She came up there to draw water. Jesus was different, and he struck up a conversation with her that led to her really being drawn into wanting to be one of his disciples and going into the town and bringing many of her friends back. But Jesus made the comment, he said, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white unto harvest." Jesus then, no matter where he went, his priority, his number one priority, that he would rather do nothing more, is the will of his Father. That involved people and their salvation and their faith. And so that is a quality that you and I can emulate. That is a quality that I can learn from Jesus to incorporate into my life. I understand, he's perfect, I'm not. None of us, we are not perfect. Jesus was. He's the Son of God, we're not. He has all power, and we don't. But these are qualities that he built his life around. Qualities that you and I can follow. That he encourages us, he teaches us make this part of your life. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. So that is something that I can learn from Jesus, to strive to be more focused on the will of God as I go about my daily life. And that's gonna come together with the other quality of being mindful of other people. Those two things connect, and they form a beautiful connection there in your life when you can put those two things together. Seeking the will of God and being mindful of other people. Now you've got something that is unique, that is going to stand out, that's going to be beautiful. But there's a third quality. Jesus was a servant, and He was willing to be a servant. Now, being a servant is lowering yourself. That's the first thing we have to understand. To be a servant, you become like a slave. You become like someone else's servant. You're not there on your own. You have someone over you that you are willing to put as if you are their servant. And you make that decision. But that's how Jesus was living His life. And He says in Mark chapter 10 and verse 43 that whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life a ransom for many. And Jesus had to try to penetrate through their thinking, because many of them kept coming back to the fact that, well, who's of us, which of the us are going to be number one and number two in the kingdom? When you get around to establishing the kingdom, who's going to sit on your right hand and on your left hand? And they were arguing over that. And Jesus says, no, no, no. You're thinking about it the wrong way. Because what you need to do is, the one that is going to be greatest is the one that is going to first become your servant. And notice He's saying, that's what I'm doing. Jesus didn't come then to be the spotlight. He didn't come to have people serving Him. It was the other way around. He was going to be the servant. And so when He was in the upper room there the night before He died, He rose from supper and laid aside His garments and took a towel and girded Himself and poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and wipe them with the towel which was girded. And that succinctly illustrated more powerfully than He could ever get it across any other way what He was saying. He just got up and began doing it. And it took them by surprise that He was going to wash their feet. And He said, as I have done to you, now you do to others. You do to one another. Become a servant. Become a servant of God. Become a servant of one another. Become a servant of people around you in the world. That's how we're going to become like Jesus. You think, well, I thought that being like Jesus was going to be that I'm going to be someone important. I'm going to be someone that other people are going to notice me. Well, yeah, they will, but the way it works is you become the servant. And that's how you become like Jesus. So one of the great invitations that Jesus gave in Matthew 11 and verse 28 through 30, He says, come to Me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And He goes on to say in the following verse there, He says, Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So Jesus is saying, I am lowly like a servant. And that's the thing that you're going to feel okay coming to me. I'm not going to be a tyrant over you. I'm going to be healing you and making you find rest. And so I'm a servant. I'm gentle. So we find three simple qualities. These are not the only ones. There are many more. But you can look at the life of Jesus, and one by one you can single out and say, well, that's one of the qualities that definitely is seen in the life of Jesus, and here's another one, and here's another one. Now you put those three things together, and you see why he is unique, why he is different. And you look at his life, and he was born, and he lived, and he died for you and for me. He came for that purpose. He came down from heaven to this earth so that he could do these things for us. So that is where we see the beauty of Jesus. And as we look into that tube and we look into those little beads that are just in there, in his life, but as you turn them in different situations and different directions, you look through that and you see something beautiful about Jesus in his life. You see that he is mindful of other people always, that he is always concerned about the will of his Father in doing that, and he is willing to humble himself and become a servant. Those are things that you and I, that's within reach. That is not out of reach for us to strive to pick up those and put them into my life. And I'm asking you if you will promise yourself to take those qualities and try to put them into your life. And I believe if you'll do that, the beauty of Jesus will be seen in you. And you become more and more like him. Jesus left behind his footprints on this earth that reflected that purpose of his life coming that made this world a beautiful place. And you can take those qualities and you can leave behind footprints that has that same quality of beauty about it. That people can see something different in your life than what they are normally used to finding. So the statement was made, he has done all things well. And he did. He lived his life by those principles and he kept that focus on the will of God. If you're here today and not a Christian, we hope that you'll respond this morning and want to become a Christian, want to become a follower of Jesus. And that really what is being Christian is to being a follower of Jesus in your life. And it's not just making a one-time decision. It's adopting that way of life as your life. Surrendering to him as your Lord and putting your faith in him and repenting of your sins and confessing that you believe he's the Son of God and being baptized into, that's how we begin living the life. That's how we receive forgiveness and are added into his body, and we are able then to follow his example. Follow his example. It says in Peter that Jesus left us an example that we should follow his footsteps. And that is what being a Christian really is. So if you're here today and you're subject to the invitation, we hope you'll come as we stand together and sing the invitation song.
My Jesus.